हरे
Section 9.
Narada said, O Yudhishthira, the celestial Shaba of Varuna is unparalleled in splendor. In dimensions, it is similar to that of Yama. Its walk and arches are all of pure white. It hath been built by Vishwakarma, the celestial architect within the waters. It is surrounded on all sides by many celestial trees made of gems and jewels, yielding excellent fruits and flowers. Many plants with their weight of blossoms, blue and yellow, black and darkish, and white and red, stand there, or are within the excellent bowers around. Within those bowers, hundreds and thousands of birds of diverse species, beautiful and variegated, always pour forth their melodies. The atmosphere of that mansion is extremely delightful, neither cold nor hot. Owned by Varuna, that assembly house of pure white consists of many rooms and is furnished with many seats. There sitteth Varuna, attired in celestial robe, decked in celestial ornaments and jewels, with his queen, adorned with celestial scents and besmeared with paste of celestial fragrance. The Adityas wait upon and worship the illustrious Varuna. Who are the Adityas?
12 sun gods.
Yeah, the 12 sun gods, because he's one of them. So that means the other 11, they all come and sit there. Vasuki, Takshaka, and the Naga called Airavana, Krishna and Lohita, Padma and Chitra, endued with great energy. The Nagas called Kamvala and Ashvatara, and Dhritarashtra and Valakha. And Dhritarashtra, remember, when he would go out, how many snakes would go with him?
10,000.
Anyone know? 28,000 would go just as attendants. Right? So it's not that these are just small snakes just there on their own. These are all the head snakes. Mati Mat and Kundadhara, Karotaka and Dananjaya, Panimat and the mighty Kundaka, O Lord of the Earth, Prahlada, Mustikada, and Janamejaya, all having auspicious marks, mandalas, and extended hoods, these and many other snakes. O Yudhishthir, without anxiety of any kind, wait upon the illustrious Varuna. I think that needs a comma after snakes. O King, Vali, the son of Virochana, and Nataka, the subjugator of the whole earth, Sangraha, Viprachitti, and those Dhanavas called Kalakanja, Suhanu, Durmuka, Shanka, and Sumanas, also Sumati, Gatodhara, Mahaparshva, Kartana, and Pitara, Vishwarup, Surup, and Virup, Mahashirish, Dasagriva, Vali, Megavasas, Dasavara, Titiva, Vibhuta, Sangrada, and Indratapana. These Daityas and Dhanavas, all bedecked with earrings, garlands, and crowns, attired in celestial robes, all blessed with boons and possessed of great bravery, enjoying immortality, and all well of conduct and excellent vows, wait upon and worship in that mansion the illustrious Varuna, the deity bearing the noose as his weapon. Right, why the Nagas, the Danavas, and the Daityas? Why are they in his court?
They stay in the water,
they live under the earth. You know, so in other words, he's the lord of everything down there. Yama is for death, you know, for, how you say, judging the piety and everything like that, but he's the lord of all these very powerful persons. Just like when a king, when he collects, takes fines. If he takes fines for, murder, adultery, robbery, thievery, you know, all the, killing a Brahmin, all these different things like this, all those, that money he keeps in a separate treasury, and he'll never use that himself. Absolutely not. He won't use it on the kingdom, won't use it on himself, nothing. It's considered so, carrying so much sin. So then what he'll do is he'll either give it to very qualified Brahmins, has to be very qualified, otherwise the power, the sin coming from that will degrade them. Or if when he finishes his term in office, before he leaves for the forest or before he goes out for a final battle, he throws it into the water like that. Because then Varuna, being the lord of kings, like that, he holds power over kings. Then it goes to him, like that, because then he'll purify it. O king, there are also the four oceans, the river Bhagirathi, the Kalindi, the Vidisha, Venva, and Narmada of rapid current, the Vipasha, the Satadu, Chandrabhaga, the Saraswati, Indravati, Vitasvas, the Sindhu, Devanadi, the Godavari, the Krishna Vena, and the Queen of Rivers, the Kaveri, the Kimpurna, the Vishalya, the River Vaitarani also, even the river that's in front of Varuna's court, the river personified is in Varuna's court, right? So all the great rivers, great oceans, like this. The Titriya, the Jeshtila, and the great Son, the Charmanwati, and the great river Paranasha, the Sharayu, where's the Sharayu? Huh? Ayodhya, that's the one next to Ramachandra's place. Varavatya, and the queen of rivers, the Langali, Karatoya, Aitreya, the red Mahananda, and the Laganti, the Gomati, the Sandhya, and also Trishotasi. These and other rivers, which are all sacred and are world-renowned places of pilgrimage, as also other rivers and sacred waters, lakes and wells, springs, tanks, large or small, in their personified forms. O Bharata, wait upon and worship the Lord Varuna. Right, so any all other rivers and sacred waters, whether they're a lake, they're a tank, they're a well, whatever, then they're all personified, they're all there. The points of the heavens, the earth, and all the mountains, as also every species of aquatic animals, all worship Varuna there. Various tribes of Gandharvas and Apsaras, devoted to music, both vocal and instrumental, wait upon Varuna, singing eulogistic hymns unto him. All these mountains that are noted for being both delightful and rich in jewels, wait in their personified forms in that Shava, enjoying sweet converse with one another. The chief minister of Varuna, Sunabha by name, surrounded by his sons and grandsons, also attend upon his master, along with a personified form of a sacred water called Go. These all, in their personified forms, worship the deity. O bull of the Bharata race, such is the assembly room of Varuna, seen by me before in the course of my wanderings. Listen now to the account I give of the assembly room of Kuvera. And also the mountains and all that, because they surround everything. Because around you have the Loka Loka mountains, they go around the whole the whole mandala. Section 10. Narada said, possessed of great splendor, the assembly house of Vaishravana, O king, is 100 yojanas in length and 70 yojanas in breadth. It was built by Vaishravana himself, using his ascetic power. Possessing the splendor of the peaks of Kailash, that mansion eclipses by its own the brilliance of the moon himself. Supported by guhyakas, that mansion seems to be attached to the firmament. Right? So the guhyakas hold it up, so it just seems to float. The brilliance of the supported by the guhyakas, that mansion seems to be attached to the firmament. Of celestial make, it is rendered extremely handsome with high chambers of gold, extremely delightful, and rendered fragrant with celestial perfumes. It is variegated with numberless costly jewels. Resembling the peaks of a mass of white clouds, it appears to be floating in the air. Painted with colors of celestial gold, it seems to be decked with streaks of lightning. Within that mansion sitteth on an excellent seat, bright as the sun, covered with celestial carpets, and furnished with a handsome footstool. King Vaishravana, of agreeable person, attired in excellent robes, adorned with costly ornaments and earrings of great brilliance, surrounded by his 1,000 wives. Delicious and cooling breezes murmuring through forests of tall mandaras and bearing fragrance of extensive plantations of jasmines, as well as of the lotuses on the heart of the river Alaka and of the Nandana gardens, always minister to the pleasure of the king of the Yakshas. There the deities with the Gandharvas, surrounded by various tribes of Apsaras, sing in chorus. O king, notes of celestial sweetness, Mishrakesi and Ramba, Chitrasena and Suchismita, Charunetra, Gritachi and Menaka, Punji Kashtala and Vishvachi, Sahajanya, Pramlocha, Urvasi and Ira, Varga, Shoraveyi, Samichi, Vududa and Lata, these and 1,000 other Apsaras and Gandharvas, all well skilled in music and dance, attend upon Kuvera, the lord of treasuries. So before, it always mentions just that Gandharvas are there. I mean, yeah, the Apsaras are there. Why in this one it mentions all their names? And why is it all that those mentioned names are all the big top Apsaras? The hint was, before this, they always called them Vishravana, but in this one, they referred to him in a different way. No? Attend upon Kuvera, the lord of treasures. In other words, he's the treasurer for all the wealth of the universe. So you think Urvasi, Gritachi, and that aren't going to be in that one? That's where all the money is, right? You got Dharma, you know, in how you say? You got, you know, power of the universe, so they also are there in Indra's court. You know, Varuna then will be also the power over the kings, not of the universe, of the kings. Then you have Yama, you know, Dharma and everything, also important, therefore he has Gandharvas, but this one has all the money, right? That mansion always filled with the notes of instrumental and vocal music, as well as with the sounds of dance and various tribes of Gandharvas and Apsaras, hath become extremely charming and delicious. The Gandharvas called Kinaras and others called Naras, also Manibhadra, Donada and Swetabhadra, Guhyaka, Kasharaka, Gandakandu, and the mighty Pradyota, Kutsumvuru, Pisacha, Gajakarna, and Vishalaka, Varahakarna, Tamraushta, Falkashta, and Falodaka, Hansachuda, Sikavarta, Vibhishana, Pushpamana, Pingalaka, Soni Toda and Pravalaka, Vrisha Parva, Vrisha Vaspa Niketa, and Chitravashas. These Bharata and many other yakshas by hundreds and thousands always wait upon Kuvera. The goddess Lakshmi always stays there. Also Kuvera's son, Nala Kuvera, myself, and many others like myself, right, often repair thither. Many Brahmana and celestial rishis also repair there often. Many Rakshasas and Gandharvas, besides those that have been named, wait upon and worship in that mansion the illustrious lord of all treasures. O king, tiger amongst kings, the illustrious husband of Uma and lord of created things, the three-eyed Mahadev, the wielder of the trident and slayer of the asura called Bhaganetra, the mighty god of the fierce bow, surrounded by multitudes of spirits in their hundreds and thousands, some of dwarfish nature, some of fierce visage, some hunchbacked, some of blood-red eyes, some of frightful yells, some feeding upon fat and flesh, and some terrible to behold, but all armed with various weapons and endued with the speed of wind, with the goddess Parvati, ever cheerful and knowing no fatigue, always waiteth there upon their friend Kuvera, the lord of treasures. Hundreds of Gandharva chiefs with cheerful hearts and attired in their respective robes, and Vishvavasu, Haha, and Huhu, Tumvuru, and Parvata, Shailusha, Chitrasena, skilled in music, and also Chitrarata, these and innumerable Gandharvas worship the Lord of Treasures. Chakra Daman, the chief of the Vidyadharas, with his followers waiteth in that mansion upon the Lord of Treasures. Kinaras by hundreds, innumerable kings with Bhagadatta as their chief, Druma, the chief of the Kimpurushas, and Mahendra, the chief of the Rakshasas. Gandhamadana, accompanied by many Yakshas, Gandharvas, and Rakshasas, wait upon the Lord of Treasures. The virtuous Vibhishana also worshipped there his elder brother, the Lord Kuvera, Krosheshus. Right? Because, remember, Lanka, then that was one of Kuvera's palaces. It was actually his favorite. You know, it was the nicest, the most opulent, and everything like that. So Ravana decided that that would be a good place to hang out. So then he took it over, right? Even though they're all brothers like that. The mountains of Himavat, Paripatra, Vindhya, Kailash, Madhara, Malya, Dhurmada, Mahendra, Gandhamadana, Indrakila, Sunava, and the eastern and western hills, these and many other mountains in their personified forms, with Meru standing before all, wait upon and worship the illustrious Lord of Treasures. Why Meru? Yeah, it's made of gold. That's part of the treasury. The illustrious Nandishwaras, Mahakala, and many spirits with arrowy ears and sharp pointed mouths. Kaksha, Kutimuka, Danti, and Vijaya of great ascetic merit, and the mighty white bull of Shiva roaring deep, all wait in that mansion. Besides these, many other Rakshasas and Paisachas worship Kuvera in that assembly house. The son of Pulastya, Kuvera, formerly used always to worship in all the modes and sit, with the permission attained, besides the god of gods, Shiva, the creator of the three worlds, that supreme deity surrounded by his attendants. One day the exalted Bhava, Shiva, made friendship with Kuvera. From that time, O king, Mahadev always sitteth on the mansion of his friend, the Lord of Treasures. Those best of all jewels, those princes of all gems in the three worlds, namely Shankha and Padma, in their personified forms, accompanied by all jewels of the earth personified, worship Kuvera. Narada said, "This delightful assembly house of Kuvera that I have seen, attached to the firmament and capable of moving along it, is such. O king, now listen now to the Shabha I described unto thee, belonging to Brahma, the grandsire." Narada said, "Listen to me, O child, as I tell thee of the assembly house of the grandsire, that house which none can describe. saying it is such. Right? He's meaning that you can't describe it because it'll mention as soon as you describe it, it changes. Right? As soon as you notice it and focus on it, then it starts to change. Right? You don't notice it, it stays the way it is. As soon as you notice some aspect, that part changes. In the Krita, golden age of old, O King, the exalted deity Aditya once came down from heaven unto the world of men, having seen before the assembly house of Brahma, the self-created. Aditya was cheerfully wandering over the earth in human form, desirous of beholding what could be seen there. It was on that occasion, O son of Pandu, that the god of day spoke unto me, O bull of the Bharata race, of that celestial Sabha assembly of the grandsire. Immeasurable, immaterial and indescribable, as regards form and shape, and capable of delighting the heart of every creature by its splendor. Hearing, O bull of the Bharata race, of the merits of that Shabha, I became, O king, desirous of beholding it. I then asked Aditya, saying, O exalted one, I desire to behold the sacred Sabha of the grandsire. O Lord of light, tell me, O exalted one, by what ascetic penances, or by what acts, by what charms, or by what rites, I may be enabled to behold that excellent sin-cleaning Shabha. Hearing these words of mine, Aditya, the god of the day, the deity of a thousand rays, answered me thus. Observe thou, with mind wrapped in meditation, the Brahma vow extending for 1,000 years. Repairing then to the breast of the Himavat, I commenced that great vow, and after I had completed it, the exalted and sinless deity Surya, endued with great energy and knowing no fatigue, took me with him to the Shabha of the grandsire. O king, it is impossible to describe that Shabha, saying it is such, for within a moment it assumes a different form that language fails to paint. O Bharata, it is impossible to indicate its dimensions or shape. I had never seen anything like it before. Ever contributing to the happiness of those within it, its atmosphere is neither cold nor warm. Hunger and thirst, or any kind of uneasiness, disappear as soon as one goeth thither. It seems to be made up of brilliant gems of many kinds. It doth not seem to be supported on columns. It knoweth no deterioration, being eternal. That self-effulgent mansion, by its numerous blazing, celestial indications of unrivaled splendor, seem to surpass the moon, the sun, and fire in splendor. Stationed in heaven, it blazes forth, censuring as it were the maker of the day. In that mansion, O king, the supreme deity, the grandsire of all created things, having himself created everything by virtue of his creative illusion, stayeth ever. Daksha, Prachetas, Pulaha, Marichi, the master Kasyapa, Bhrigu, Atri, Vashishta, Gotama, and also Angiras, Pulastya, Kratu, Prahlad, and Kardama, these Prajapatis and Angirasha of the Atharva Veda, the Vahlikyas, who are the Vahlikas?
She's like thumb, the size of a thumb.
Yeah. Okay, rishis that are the size of a thumb, and?
They sit on the Surya's chariot and the non-chariot.
They sit on the chariot. Where do they sit on the chariot? They sit on the axle. And how many of them are there?
60,000.
60,000, right. Okay, so a little. Now, the Marichipas, then these will all be personified. Intelligence, space, knowledge, air, heat, water, earth, sound, touch, form, taste, scent, nature, and the modes of nature, and the elemental and prime causes of the world, all stay in that mansion beside the Lord Brahma. Agastya of great energy, Markandeya of great ascetic power, and Jamadagni and Bharadvaja, Samvarta and Chyavana, and the exalted Durvasa, the virtuous Rishyashringa, the illustrious Sanat Kumar of great ascetic merit. Who's Rishyashringa?
This is the one who did the Jayapur invited Lord Ramachandra.
Yes, he was the one who invited Lord Ramachandra. And only he was known because he was so pure. He had never seen a woman, right? His father said some apsaras came to bathe in the river next to his ashram, and he came out and he got disturbed and lost semen, so he got very upset. So then he decided, my son's going to grow up not knowing what women are, right? So then, from that semen that was drunk by a deer, and the deer gave birth to a boy, but he happened to have little deer horns, so that's why he's called Rishyashringi. He's got the horns of a deer. So then he grew up in the ashram, didn't know any women. But then the king, something happened and there was a drought for like 12 years. And so the priests all said, only if someone so pure steps on your kingdom, then the rain will start again. So then it was understood the only one that pure is Rishyashringa. So then they wonder who is going to go get him, because that's not going to be an easy job. And it's also, So then no one will do it, but then a group of society girls said, okay, we'll do it. And so then they said, you have to make us a boat that's so big that it looks like an island. And on it is dirt and trees and ashrams and deers and birds and everything. It's got to be that big. Right, so then, because they can't just go there because the father will see. So then one time when the father was out, he went to some yajna. Then these society girls now dressed up as brahmacharis, right? Like that, then, had their boat, paddled up the rivers, like 300 men, rowing it, like that. So then they parked it outside his ashram. And then they came over, and then they came, and he greeted them because he'd always take care of other sages and that, and so he would, but instead of the normal kind of pranams or this or that, they'd all come up and one by one they'd embrace him, right? So he'd never seen they're kind of interesting brahmacharis. They look a little different than other brahmacharis like that, So then they'd sit and talk and this and that, and they do all kinds of services, and then they went back up on their ashram and then left, and the father came back. So then the father then asked, what news is that? And he just, everything's regular. He says, no, but one day I was visited by these six celestial brahmacharis. And he was wondering, what group would they be in? Because like we just read all these different tribes of human tribes. So he was asking. So he went through and, it's describing, what they looked like and all that, because they were like anatomically a bit different than the normal brahmacharis they'd ever met. So when he started explaining, the detail of what they looked like, so you can understand whether, were they, Narad or this one or that one or who was it, then he understood these were girls, these were brahmacharis, right? So then they were gone. So then the next time he went for a yajna, they came back again with the ashram. This time they were talking, and that, so he says, you've hosted us at your ashram, so now we should, we're so thankful, we should host you at our ashram. So then they went across onto their island, their ashram, and then I guess it was in the evening, so then it was nighttime, so they just sat and talked and everything, so he doesn't know that it's a boat. So then they paddle the boat down during the night, and in the morning then they come to the kingdom, right? And then he goes to step off their ashram to go back to his, and then he steps on the kingdom, right? And immediately then it starts to rain and everything. So when he comes, then the king and everybody are there to greet him and all that, and they're very, very happy and all, and now he's very attached to these, celestial brahmacharis, and I'm not sure if he married them or he married, the king arranged either his own daughters or somebody, his own daughters, the princesses, okay. So okay, now everything's fine, kingdom's going like that. Now only one last little problem to work out, the father, right? So the father then coming back to the ashram, seeing he's not there, then by his, you know, mystic potency, he understands what happens. So then, you know, all the spies, you know, then that are there, the king's watching, then come and report to the king that the sage is coming, right? And he doesn't look happy, right? And so then the king and all that, they're all standing down there at the place, you know, the entrance into the kingdom with all things of worship, and everybody's there and all the ministers and all that. And they're waiting, looking down the road, and then they don't see him coming, and then somebody, you know, they point to the river. He's walking down the river, on top of the river, you know, and he's not looking, how do you say, he is not a happy camper, let's say, right? And so then, you know, he comes there and he's just about ready to, you know, curse the king, you know, gets the water to, like that, and then I think Rishi Sringa comes out, and then it all works out, and then, you know, he sees that, you know, he's already now figured out what women are, and so then, you know, what's done is done, so why worry about it? So then he gives his blessing, so then Rishi Sringa, he stays there, and then he, after some, I think it's like six kings later or something like that, I'm not sure, but then he does the Putra Kameshti Yajna for Dasarath, so then he gets the, you know, Ram, Lakshman, Bharat, and Shatrughna as his sons, like that. So that's Rishi Sringa. I think the story comes up in here, right? Yeah, that's a good story. Wow. Oh, this is all Brahma's court. The illustrious Sanat Kumar, of great ascetic merit, and the preceptor in all matters of affecting yoga, right? So Sanat Kumar, he's the authority. Any question no one can answer, it goes to Sanat Kumar, right? You see, like in the Krishna book, then that question of how is it somebody speaking, right? You're speaking transcendental knowledge, but it's being spoken with the tongue, which is mundane. It's going through the mundane ear, falling on the mundane ear, being processed by the mundane brain, going into the mundane heart. How does it have spiritual potency? So then he mentions it's the chit potency. You know, just like so. Because the words are coming from, one is authorized, it's coming from the bona fide source, therefore the chit potency enters it, it has that power. Like, so that's the point. So anything you connect to Krishna in the same way has potency, and therefore it will free you. Right? The chit potency will get you back to Godhead. This other aspect will situate you on the Brahman platform. Right? Does that make sense? So it's the same process. Just as you hear from the bona fide spiritual master, then what you speak based on Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra has the potency to change people's hearts. In the same way, even though you're dealing with material energy, the same way as anything around you, you see it in connection to Krishna, it carries that chit potency, right? And it will purify you, it will uplift you, right? To think that it can't or won't because it's mundane, that is Maya. Because then you're thinking that there's something separate from Krishna, right? Does that make sense? So it's actually a very simple process. It's just, you know, takes a little time to get a habit of seeing everything in connection to Krishna, but what you're trying to do is just connect everything to Krishna. Does that make sense? Asita and Devala, Jaigishavya, acquainted with truth, Rishava, Ajita Shatru, and Mani of great strength, and the science of healing with its eight branches, all in their personified forms, O Bharata, the moon with all the stars and the celestial conjunctions, Aditya with all his rays, the winds, the sacrifices, the declarations of purpose and sacrifice. Why the wind? Right? Because when you're doing the mandala, then in the northwest, that's wind's corner, right? Vayu's corner. So he represents Guru. Like that. So then also then he of demigods would be there because he's like the guru. the sacrifices, the declarations of purpose in sacrifices, the vital principles, these illustrious and vow-observing beings in their personified form. So the vital principles means all the things that make everything work. Right? So all these things that we talk about, that these are principles, you know, the male-female principle, all these different things, how anything works. Like that. Sambandha Abhide Prayojana, that principle. They're all there in Brahma's court in personified form. Right? Does that make sense? Right? So this is not just something that's on a piece of paper or, oh, this is what we say, but then there's something else. There's so many opinions, right? You know, there are so many opinions. But then there are the real principles that are there. These illustrious and vow-observing beings in their personified forms, and many others too numerous to mention, attend all upon Brahma in that mansion. Wealth and religion, desire and joy, aversion, asceticism and tranquility, all wait together upon the Supreme Deity in that palace. Notice all the different things. They're connected. One depends on the other, or one transforms into the other. Aversion, then through asceticism, moves into tranquility. Right? Aversion is there because you don't want it. But through austerity, then you come to the point is you don't need it. Right? So then you're tranquil. Right? Does that make sense? That's why the Munis, that one of their qualities of a Muni, or the great sages, is that they can be easily angered and can curse. So because they're controlling the senses so strongly, until they come to this tranquil point, then it will be, you know, very volatile, right? Very, very easily can become angered and other things like that. But once they come to that state, they're tranquil, then it doesn't bother them anymore. But in any case, they're great because they're making that endeavor. They're trying to control. They're having some success, you know, to some degree or another. The 20 tribes of the Gandharvas and Apsaras, as also the 7 other tribes, and all the Lokapalas, chief protectors of several regions. Right, the Lokapalas are the ones that protect the directions. Right, so you have Indra, Varuna, Yama, and Kuvera. Right, like this. They'll also, or you can take it. Who's in all the points? Then you add in Agni, Vayu, Stanu, and who would be on that side? Isha, okay. Shukra, Brihaspati, Vudha, and Angaraka, Mangala, Shani, Rahu, and the other planets, the mantras of the Samaveda, the special mantras of the Samaveda, right? So the Rahasyas, all the different hidden, the rites of Harimat and Vasumat, the Adityas with Indra, the 2 Agnis mentioned by name, namely Agni Soma and Indragni, the Marutas, Vishvakarma, and the Vasus, O Bharata, the Pitris, and all kinds of sacrificial libations, the 4 Vedas, namely Rig, Sama, Yajur, and Atharva, all sciences and branches of learning, histories and all major branches of learning, the several branches of the Vedas, the planets, the sacrifices, the Soma, all the deities. Why would they mention all sciences and branches, and then the histories and branches? Yeah, because there it'll be the practical application, right? Because the history then contains the Upapuranas, and then so all those sciences, and then it contains all the arts, the 64 arts. Because you have a science, you have to be able to apply it. Like the Ayurvedas say that you grind, you know, pick this, you know, how you say, herb at this time, but how it's picked, you know, then it says that you'll grind this, you know, like this, but how do you grind? How do you cook it? How do you powder it? You understand? Those are arts. The science is this herb with this herb in this proportion, taken in at this time, you know, in this for this many days will get rid of this disease. That's the science. But the art is how to collect it, how to grow it, how to prepare it, how to administer it. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah, so arts are very important. Like the art is the child takes the cough syrup, then they get rid of the disease. The art is getting them to take it. You know? Here, you come with the medicine. Oh, so nice, like that. You know, no, it tastes bad. No, very nice. Ooh, so good. Yeah, here you take. No, you know, that's art, right? But without that, the science doesn't happen. Does that make sense? So no science happens without its art. So that's why then it'll be the science and all its branches, right? The Vedas, the sciences, all their branches, and then histories and all their branches. So basically you also are getting all the three main branches of the Veda. The four Vedas themselves, the six Vedangas, and then the four Upangas. Upangas? Yeah, Upangas. Various commentaries with arguments, all in their personified forms. That means all these commentaries, then the acharyas reveal them, but otherwise they're already there. So then you could understand that Prabhupada's purports are there in Brahma's loka, all personified, right? O king, and various dramas and poems, stories and abridged glosses, there also and many others wait upon the supreme deity in that sabha. Kshanas, lavas, muhurtas, day, night, fortnights, months, the six seasons, O Bharata, years, yugas, the four kinds of days and nights. Oh, okay. So all the time means from, you know, from the smallest right up to Brahma. Then all time personified is there. The yugas then also, then that means you have, yugas means you have all kinds of yugas. You know, we normally, the four yugas, Satya, Treta, Dwapara, and Kali. So these are the biggest of the yugas. Then you also have yugas, which is a cycle of 12 years, a cycle of Jupiter. Then you have these five-year cycles, which are the 5 years, and then that's in 60-year cycles, five times 12. So then you get all these. The yugas then, you add them all up, it's 12,000 celestial years. So they all seem to, yugas are all connected, seem to be with 12. And that eternal, indestructible, undeteriorating, excellent wheel of time, and also the wheel of virtue, these always wait there, O Yudhishthir. Right? Because otherwise nothing else can be done without time. Right? Remember also, time is also with Yamaraj, because it's by time that someone, you know, gets his pious and impious credits, and he, you know, is born and dies. Right? So then, O Yudhishthira, Aditi, Diti, Danu, Surasa, Vinata, Ira, Kalika, Shuravi, Devi, Sharama, Gotami, and the goddess Prada and Kadru, these mothers of the celestials and Rudrani, Shri, Lakshmi, Bhadra, Shashti, the earth, Ganga and Hri, Svaha, Kriti, the goddess Sura, Sachi, Pushti, Arundhati, Sambriti, Asha, Niyati, Shrishti, and Rati, these and many other goddesses wait upon the creator of all. Notice that these names are much easier to say. Like that, because that's the rule, the Dharma Shastra. The girl's name should be easy to say, very sweet, nice, ends with long vowels, like that. You know, the boys, you can give them all the tough ones, you know. Nice, you know, Samsara Dava Nalalita Loka Tranaya Karunya Kanakanatvam Das. You can do that, but for girls, don't do that. The Adityas, Vasus, Rudras, Marutas, Ashwinas, the Vishvadevas, Sadhyas, and the Pitris, gifted with the speed of mind, these all wait there upon the grandsire. O bull among men, know that there are seven classes of Pitris, of which four classes have embodied forms, and the remaining three without embodied forms. It is well known that the illustrious Vaidrajas and Agni Shvatas and Garhapatyas, the three classes of Pitris, range in heaven. Those among the Pitris that are called the Somapas, the Ekashringas, the Chaturvedas, and the Kalas are ever worshipped among the four orders of men. Gratified with the Somajus first, right? In other words, those are for the four Varnas, and the other three will be for other classes. gratified with the soma juice first. These gratify soma afterwards. All these tribes of Pitris wait upon the Lord of creation and cheerfully worship the supreme deity of immeasurable energy. Rakshasas, Paisachas, the Danavas and the Guhyakas, Nagas, birds and various animals, and all mobile and immobile great beings, all worship the grandsire. Right? Why would everybody be worshiping the grandsire?
Because he's the highest authority in the universe.
He's the highest authority, but also... Yes, he created them. So it's natural one will have a affection towards one's source, one's origin. So you're going to say? Yes. Pundara, the chief of the celestials, Varuna, Kuvera, Yama, and Mahadev, accompanied by Uma, always repair thither. O king of kings, Mahasena, Kartikeya, also adoreth there the grandsire. Narayana himself, the celestial rishis, and those rishis called Vahlikyas, all beings born of females, all those not born of females, and whatever else is seen in the three worlds, both mobile and immobile, know, O king, were all seen by me there. 80,000 rishis with vital seed drawn up. O Pandu, 50,000 rishis having sons were all seen by me there. All the dwellers in heaven repairing thither behold his supreme deity when they please, and worshipping him with a bow of their head. Bow? Is that how you spell bow also? B-O-W? Bow and bow is the same. Okay. With a bow of their head, return whence they came. O king of men, the grandsire of all created beings, the soul of the universe, the self-created Brahma of immeasurable intelligence and glory, equal kindly to all creatures, honoreth as they deserve, and gratified with sweet speech, gift of wealth and other enjoyable articles, the gods, the daityas, the nagas, the brahmanas, the yakshas, the birds, the kalakeyas, the gandharvas, the apsaras, and all other exalted beings. It came to him as guests. So even though he's the supreme, they've come to him as guests. He is still respecting them, giving gifts and whatever is appropriate for their position. Right? Why would it say the self-created Brahma?
He has no parents.
He has no parents. Is that true, he has no parents? Just a little puff of smoke and then he just appeared. There was this little baby, little cute little guy with forehead. Imagine if he got sick, right? Don't want to know, right? Could get everyone in the room, right?
He's created by Vishnu by himself.
Yeah, he's created by Vishnu by himself. Well, here, created by the self. The self-create means the self is Vishnu. It's because Swayambhu means self-created, but he's coming from Krishna. Krishna is the actual self-created. So sometimes when it says Swayambhu, it can mean Brahma. It can also mean Swayambhu Vamanu, but it specifically means Lord Vishnu. That delicious Shabha, O child, is always crowded with persons coming and going, filled with every kind of energy, and worshipped by Brahmarshis. That celestial Shabha blazes forth with the graceful possessions of Brahma, and looks extremely handsome. O tiger among kings, as this Shabha of yours is unrivaled in the world of men, so is that Shabha of Brahma, seen by me and rivaled in all the worlds. I have seen these Shabhas, O Bharata, in regions of the celestials. This, thy Shabha, is unquestionably the foremost in the world of men. So in other words, he's pointing out is that you have all those ones, they're all great, but then Brahma's is the greatest there. So then amongst the kings and of that of the earth, then of all those, then yours is the best. So then, you know, it makes you feel bad. It's kind of in the same category like Brahma's, you know.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhakti Vrinda ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Premanandi, Hare Bhagavan.